Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. Few quick things. Some of you may have noticed I am drinking an Arnold Palmer instead of my customary Monster. R21. Awesome movement. If you haven't started, grab one in the back and jump on in. This thing is amazing, but also challenges you to fast some things. And so a fast is when you give up some things so you can focus more time on God, either focusing in prayer or giving up something for a time just to get closer to Him. So in this with R21, I not only fasted Monsters this year, but anything that is basically pop. So that for me, like, was kind of huge because I really like to have Pepsi and Mountain Dew and all kinds of fun stuff. And if you remember last year, I'm like, yeah, I'm fasting Monster, and I had like a 2-liter of Dew up here. So this is, we're going a little deeper. We're going to take it on. So if you have not started R21, grab one, jump on in because you don't want to miss it. We're going through it as a youth group. In fact, it pays to do R21. Let's just say that. So, on day one, scripture memorization. Does anybody know 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7 off the top of their head? Because there may be $5 on the line for the first person that can quote it without reading it. Just saying. I got $5. I mean, see, if you guys are doing R21, you're living this challenge. If you can quote it, quoting is different than reading. I'm really bummed, man, because this was day one memorization. I'll just keep the $5. That's cool. It pays to R21, I'm telling you. Let's try it. Zach thinks he knows it.
For this reason, I ask you to kindle afresh the fire that was in you that I placed on you. I just lost it. Crash and burn. I'm sorry.
I knew it, and I crashed. It's close. For this reason, I encourage you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you by the laying of hands. Sound right? Does anybody know the second part? For we're not given a spirit of timidity, but one of power, love, and self-discipline. There you go. You guys can get this. Do R21. Take it serious, because if you're not taking on the challenges and the memorizations, I can't pay you money. I'm just saying. And you're going to go deeper with Jesus anyways. Also, this is a Nashville 2016 application. Nashville 2016 applications are on the back table. Take one of these applications, fill it out, and return $50 to me with it so you can go on Nashville 2016. Do it. You are not going to regret doing this trip. Does anybody want this app? Just saying. Right here. Ariel had her hand up first. So, make sure to sign up. I want to see all of you go, because it's going to be an amazing trip. And honestly, it is going to be the cheapest missions trip you'll probably ever encounter in your life. I can just about promise you that. All right. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verses 47 through 49. I haven't heard the haze in a while. That's cool. Luke 6, 47 through 49. All right, Luke 6, 47 through 49. I'm going to read this one. I got this one. Do you really want to read it? Okay, I was going to say I'll let you. All right, it says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came and the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So we're starting a new series tonight called Foundations. The whole goal in this is to walk through in life what we do as Christians. It's important to know the why behind the what. You can say we should do this, but why? Why? Why is it important? So we're taking a look as followers of Jesus, really what we should be doing. So in that text verse, what you see in the whole thing, it's the base for our series, because in verse 47, it shows us that. It says, for everyone who comes to me, so gives their life to Jesus, and hears my words and puts them into practice. An authentic follower. That's what it's saying right there. Follower of Jesus. This is what they're like. They need to build their foundation there. You contrast that with 49. It says, one who hears and does not put into practice. Called the wise and the foolish builders. This is the base for the entire series. So thinking of this, a foundation is the lowest portion of a structure or dwelling. It's what holds everything up. This church would be sinking into the ground and cracking and breaking and falling apart if it did not have a literal foundation. Our faith is the same way. Another definition that I love of foundation is an underlying principle behind something on which all else is built on. So not only is it a structure of a building, it's a structure of our beliefs. It's a structure of who we are in Christ. But it has to start with a foundation. So really what we're getting at in this, in the series, we want to see what should we be doing as followers of Jesus to have a solid faith. What should we be doing in our lives to have a solid faith? I want to go beyond the you should do this because that's what Christians do. I want to get down to let's build a solid foundation. Let's do what we can to strengthen ourselves. Let's make ourselves more efficient in our faith. It takes more than just hearing, just like verses 47 and 49 says, you have to hear it and apply it. Have to hear it and apply it. So come tonight with open hearts. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you'll speak to us. We ask, Father, show us what a foundation in you looks like. Lord, show us how to build our faith to be solid in you. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be ones who hear and don't put into practice, and then when problems come in life, everything falls apart. When we're attacked, we just crumble. Help us to stand strong, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So a question we all hear, and it's one that all of us have asked at one point or another, if we're being honest, is why should I read my Bible? Why should I read my Bible? What's the purpose? What's the point? You know, you hear a lot like, oh, it's all about relationships. It's about relationships, and the Lord will just show it to me. I really don't need to read it. It's a question that gets raised a lot through things like R21 because it challenges you to daily get your foundation built in Scripture, of being in the Word. But it goes beyond just the question, why should we do it? It's looking at why is Scripture foundational? Why is having the Scripture in your life foundational? Spending daily time in the Scripture is foundational for many reasons. This is why we're having this talk tonight. So some of you seen on the graphic, you're like, foundations, Word. It's not, we're not being gangster. It's nothing like that. It is the first of the foundational things that you need to have in there. So each week we're going to compound more on top of this, okay? So it's just there. So as the weeks go, you're reminded, Word, as I go. We're going to build on it. It's going to be fun. The first step in building a foundation, though, is not laying the foundation. It's breaking the ground. It's breaking the ground. So you who say here, sitting tonight, that you follow Jesus, you say you're an authentic follower, you've got a foundation. You've got the first thing done because you've accepted Jesus. That means the ground has been broken and you've dug down. But there's no use in us having a hole in the ground. You can't do anything with that. You have to begin to build in it. But it starts with breaking the ground. So the groundbreaking is accepting Jesus, and it's the base on which everything in life is built on. From there, the foundation is built up, starting with getting into the Word. So first and primary, most important thing that you can do, give your life to Jesus and get into the Word. It's going to revolutionize things. So what I want you to do tonight is understand why is time in the Word so important. Well, John 1 tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And we're like, what? What it's saying is when Scriptures were written, it foretold the coming of Jesus, but he was there in the beginning of creation. So if it foretold him coming, the Word is Jesus himself, then he comes and he's manifested in flesh. So when you read the Word, you're reading things that Jesus has spoken. Some things have happened. Some things still are yet to come. But the coolest thing is he's fulfilled the Bible. He's fulfilled prophecy by his coming and being here present on earth. It's amazing. So getting at all of that, it's foundational because Scripture is authoritative. Jesus spoke it. It's authoritative. What does authoritative mean? Well, it indicates there's an author. But it goes beyond that. Being authoritative means something is able to be trusted. It means that it contains all truth, that it's accurate, true, reliable, that it's commanding, that it's self-confident, and that it's to be obeyed. So looking at 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, if you have your notes, write this one in there. It says that all Scripture, how much Scripture? All Scripture is God-breathed. God what? God-breathed. And so what that means, he breathed stars into creation. It means he spoke them into existence. So every portion of Scripture is spoken forward by God, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So why is it useful again? See, you're already lost. It's useful because it says those of us who follow Jesus need it so we can be thoroughly equipped in all that we do. It prepares us. It equips us. Scripture is authoritative. So knowing this, this is our base for all truth. This is our outline for how we should live life. We need it so we know how we should be living in Jesus. Now, many would argue that Scriptures contain errors. You guys have heard this? People be like, well, the Bible has errors. You need to remember it's God-breathed. God doesn't sneeze things into existence. He doesn't create mistakes. How do we know this? Every time somebody tries to disprove the Bible, it may be disproved for a portion, and then, a new discovery. Oh my goodness. It's amazing. For instance, we'll go there in a second. Some of the oldest texts, let's start there. The Bible's super old. Some of the oldest texts we have of the Bible are consistent with what we have today when you break it into original languages. It's thousands of years old, but it's consistent. Texts outside of Scripture support things the Bible says has happened, things that we take as authoritative for history. So looking just at that, history in many ways can prove the Bible when it's interpreted outside of the Bible. But what about things that don't? Well, I want you to know the Bible holds up extremely well under pressure because it contains no errors. Now, archaeological discoveries, a lot of times they set out and they try to disprove things. You say, well, the Bible said this will be here. And then they dig and they're like, we're going to prove that it doesn't. And then they find it and they're like, oh, okay. I guess there is something here. For example, have you guys ever heard of the Hittites? It's a fun word. Say Hittite. There you go. In the Old Testament, they are a predominant people group. You hear a lot about them. They had a lot of power, a lot of control, and they're all throughout the Bible. But the problem is they were scrutinized in society because historically there was zero proof outside the Bible that they ever existed. No proof. And so people would say, well, the Bible is wrong because it says this people was so predominant in the Middle East, if they were predominant, we would have found something to support their culture until 1908. And they were digging in Turkey, which happens to be where the Bible says the Hittite Empire was stationed. It's modern-day Turkey. They're digging, they're doing some archaeological excavation, and guess what they discover? A lot of stuff that shows not only did they exist, but they were predominant in the Middle East. They were who the Bible said they were. And scholars go, oh, well, I guess we were wrong. Another one, you guys remember there was this pool. Jesus, he's, you know, pretty awesome sometimes, actually all the time. He walked up to a blind man and he spit in the ground. He made a bunch of money. He's like, smeared it in the dude's eyes. And then he's like, hey, go wash in this pool. You guys remember that story? Yes. Scholars used to criticize that because they said, well, it's not the fact that he did a miracle because, you know, if you believe in faith, you know that God can do miracles. They said the problem is there's no pool. If this pool is this important, people would go there to wash and get healed, and where is it? A few years ago, on accident, Israelites are running some pipes under the ground. All of a sudden, guess what they discover? The pool, exactly where the Gospel of John said it was. There's so many thousands more examples like this. Educate yourself, guys. There's this cool thing called Google. Hop on there. You're going to find a lot of awesome stuff. Make sure to check your sources, though, because not everything online is true. Abraham Lincoln said that. Okay. I want you to get this. There's always going to be doubt in life. Always going to be doubt in life. You can't convince somebody whose main goal is to disprove the Bible that it's true. Only God can reveal that to them. You can show them 100 things like what I just said, and they'll still focus on one thing that has yet to be proven accurate. You got to pray for them. Got to pray for them. But you need to know that your source of truth as a Christian can be trusted. It's reliable. It holds up. Scripture is foundational because it's authoritative. But it's also foundational because it is active. So we hear a lot, oh, the Bible's an old book. It doesn't apply to my life today. That's wrong. It is alive. I want you to get this. It is active. It is present. It is still valid, and it still works in lives today. You know, the word is the most common way that God speaks to us. Some of you are like, man, I want to hear from God. I don't know what to do. Well, how much do you read your Bible? Do you get into it every day? I guarantee there's probably a huge correlation. If some of you are having trouble hearing from the Lord, but you're not getting into the word, there's probably a reason for that. Get into the word and let the word speak to you, because it's how Jesus most commonly speaks to us. You'll be amazed at how relevant it still is. You'll be amazed. In fact, it's described as a light to our feet, as a lamp for our path. Psalm 119. That shows us the way to live. And being a light to our feet, that indicates more than just something that happened 2,000 to 4,000 years ago. That indicates something that's still guiding today. It's active. So you guys remember when we did glow dodgeball in here? Yes, we did it in this room. It was awesome. We're going to do it again sometime soon. But we sectioned this off, and we had to run some, like, pretests for it because Eric throws so hard we didn't want him breaking our stage. So we're, like, wall partitions, and we're doing, like, these pre-trial runs in here. And we had a few balls go stray, like, back up on the stage. And being it's flat black and it's behind curtains and all the glow is out here and all the dark is back here, guess what happens when you have a black stage in a black room? It's kind of hard to find. So I walk into here and I get up on the stage and I kind of feel my way to it, and I'm like too prideful to turn on my iPhone light. So I'm like, oh, here's the stage. Nothing on it, right? I get up here, I find the dodgeballs, and I'm like, oh, I got them. And I know this way I need to go to get back out. So I'm walking and I'm going like this. Like, so I'm in the dark. I can't see anything. There's no lights on. I didn't turn on a light because, I mean, after all, I built this stage. So it's like, I should know where it ends, right? And I'm walking. And when I get to right about here, I think I'm right about back there. I take one more step, total in faith, fell right off the stage. Boosh, right on the ground. And it hurt a lot. And then I was kind of embarrassed and realized it's okay to turn on lights once in a while. We treat life a lot like that. We look at our lives like, I built this. I know this. I got this. I don't need to know what that book says. I don't need God to guide me. But the problem is you're stumbling through in the dark. No matter how cautious you are, eventually you're going to fall. You need the word to light your feet. You need it because it shows you the characteristics of Jesus, the very one we follow. It shows us a standard for morality. It shows us how to better love Jesus and love others. It shows us how to live our lives. The word still guides lives today for those who allow it to. You've got to be open to allow it to. It still encourages if you'll allow it. It still corrects if you'll allow it. It challenges and it guides. It's very active in a believer's life. Scripture is foundational because it's active. It's also foundational because it's a key to freedom in life. It's a key to freedom in life. It contains all that we need to know to successfully follow Jesus. Now, Jesus is the one who sets us free, but it's through his word that we find freedom from other things that maybe we're holding on to us. Why do you think it is the enemy comes at us saying, oh man, I woke up too late to get into the word today, or I don't have time, or I'm too busy, or what would people think? Or it's not that important, or I'll do it later when it comes to getting into the word. He does it because it's important. He does it because it's foundational. He's attacking the foundation of your faith. And honestly, don't use time as an excuse. If you use time as an excuse, I would love to follow you around for one day. Let me just follow you for a day and log what you do. I will find time in your schedule. I will find a lot of time in your schedule that you could spend 15 minutes to open your Bible. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You've got to make it a priority. If you want to know not just how to live life, but how to journey it, how to run to win, how to not just have an average existence, but excel here in this world, you need to get into the Word. Because God has placed a plan in each of your lives. But if you're not open to receive what He has to say, you're never going to accomplish what you need to in this life. This world is looking for truth. And they're not going to find real truth apart from Scripture. There's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of other religions out there, all based on routines and rituals and interpretations of what they think truth may be. But not all of them can be right. There's only one that's authoritative. Jesus Himself has proven that time and time and time again. He's proven it in my life. He's proven it in many of your lives. You need to be solid in that truth of Scripture so you can help other people discover what real truth is. What real truth is. Are you guys on your Bibles? I'm just wondering here. Yes? Can I see your screen? Yes, okay. Bible? You're taking notes. All right, cool. Just making sure. Got to do that once in a while and keep you guys in line. You know, there's been countless times in my lives when I've faced trials, I've faced problems, I've had issues come up, and I'll look to the Word for answers, and guess what happens? Might not find an exact answer to my situation, but what I find is peace. What I find is encouragement. What I find is other people who had it a lot worse than I'll probably ever have it, who are still able to serve God. And then I look at my circumstance and I say, Lord, You've still provided. You're still here. And it encourages me. Other times I do find an answer like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Or that's what I'm not supposed to be doing. And it challenges me to live a life that is just pleasing to God. Ultimately, when those situations come up and I get into the Word, it gives me freedom. It's freedom through the words of God. It's freedom in knowing what Jesus has said. Think of winter camp. How many of you came back from there just feeling empowered about who you are? You're like, identity. Yes. Why is that, though? It's the freeing power of the Word of God. It wasn't a question, who am I? It's a statement of who you are. It's the truth of the Word into your life, who you are. Who you are. This is who you are. This is what God's Word says you are. It's foundational. And it transforms your life. It sets you free. It sets you free from lies that you had been believing. You came back going, I know who I am. I don't have to question now. It's foundational because it's the key to freedom in life through Christ. It's also foundational because in Scripture because it's direct to you. It's direct to you. Kristen and Eric, could I borrow you guys up front? Yeah. Give it up for our newest married couple. See, now I can do this because they're married. So, Eric, here, I want you to start writing this extravagant love note for Kristen. You just start writing. You just put it in there. Just act like you're writing it. It's good. Oh, here we go. So he's going to write this amazing love note. Now, Eric and Kristen just got married. And in this love note, Eric is going to be proclaiming his undying, unwavering love for Kristen. He's going to be telling her everything he loves about her. Every dream he thought he's ever had. It is not just going to take him a few minutes. He's been working on this for years. Pouring his life. You guys laugh, but just wait. He's pouring his life into this thing. Pouring his life. Okay, yours are up. So now, Eric is going to pledge this amazing amazing piece of literature to the love of his life, Kristen. You can go ahead and give it to her. Now, what do you think's going to happen if she just throws it to the side and says, I don't have time to read this right now? He can do that. He can do it. She's too busy today. It's too wordy. She doesn't have time right now. Big smile on her face. Maybe next week. I don't understand everything in there. These are different things Kristen's saying. She's like, man, it's heartbreaking when you think of it that way. Kristen would never do that to Eric. But in reality, scriptures, God has taken thousands of years to write us this extravagant love note that he's woven through the fabric of time, through the fabric of humanity, signed it with the blood of the cross, and presented it to you at his resurrection. Be it we do that, we just throw it to the side and we say, I don't have time today. Maybe tomorrow. We look at it and say, this is too wordy. I don't get this. It's not relevant to my life. There's no point where I'll ever apply this. I don't have time for this. Give it up for our newest married couple. Thank you, guys. In a relationship, you can imagine how devastating that would be. But we do it every day to Jesus. When we say, man, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. You know, God loves you so much that he gave you this elaborate love note, this manual for your life, so you can succeed and so you can get close to him. Honestly, all God wants is all of you. And the amazing part is he created you. He deserves all of you, but he gives you the choice if you'll accept him or not. That's the part that blows my mind the most. He has complete ownership over me, but he gave me free will to choose to accept him and love him or reject him and not. But all he wants is all of me, which is all his in the first place. You know, God's a relational God, and even in the beginning, it says that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's always been relationship with God. Why? Because he's a relational God. He's a relational God. And it doesn't stop just when the Holy Trinity. He wants relationship with his creation. He wants relationship with you. He loves you so passionately that he took centuries to write you a love note and a roadmap straight to him. Everybody go ahead and bow their head and close their eyes. I just wonder here how many people would say either they don't know Jesus, they've never thought of it like this, or they're at a spot where they're just away from him. Maybe through this message you've realized, man, God is present. God is here. He wants you to know him. Whether you've made that choice before or not, I want you to understand he already knows you. There's nothing you've done that he hasn't already seen, and he loves you anyways. But he wants to forgive you. See, the truth is he's crazy about you. He wants you to live a life of passion, a life of purpose, and a life of relationship with him. If that's you, say, yeah, I want that. Maybe for the first time or 100th time, doesn't make a difference. That's you. It's just me and you looking around right now. Go ahead and slip your hand up. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? I want you to know not only does God see your life, but he sees your heart. If you've raised your hand tonight and you've meant that, I want to know God. I want to know Jesus. In a moment, we're all going to say a prayer together. Just pray it from the heart. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for giving your life for mine. Thank you for loving me. Help me, Jesus, to follow you. Forgive me of my sins. I know I've messed up, and I need your forgiveness. Thank you for giving your life in place of mine.
Help me to live a life that follows you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. For some of you, you just dug some ground. Now start building the foundation. For others of you, you've dug the ground long ago, but you haven't done anything with it. Or you have been, but you haven't built it enough, and the waters and the rains of life are coming in, and they're trying to fill that hole back in. So you're in bucket mode. You're just trying to throw that junk out. Quit trying to throw the stuff out and start laying the foundation. How I want us to respond tonight. So I want you to think, what stops you from spending time with Jesus? Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's your schedule. Maybe it's your mindset, I'm too busy. Maybe you just really like sleep and you oversleep. Maybe you're scared too. Maybe you don't have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please see me after. I'll give you one. And if I don't have one to give you, I'll buy you one. I'm that serious about this. Like, if you need a Bible, let me know. We'll make it happen. Maybe if you're really being honest, you'd say, Pastor Carl, I just don't have a desire to read the Bible. But you know it's foundational. And you know you should. So you do it out of a religious obligation, not a heart thing. You need to look and see, why do I feel that way? So as we respond tonight, what I want you to do is I want you to begin to give these things over to Jesus. And I think there's a number of you in here who need to come to this altar and spend some time repenting before the Lord, saying, God, I've put these things in my life in front of building the foundation. I've put these things in my life in front of spending time with you. And my life has suffered for it. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for my lack. So if that's you, whether you're just at a spot where there's things holding you back, or you're one that needs to repent, the altars are open. I'm going to ask you guys just to find a place up here. Leaders, they're going to come through. We just want to pray over you.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.